Canuck lay helpless, wanting to fight but unable to find clearness of mind or power over his body. Then, the juggernaut silhouette was above him, clamping down on Canuck's shoulder and lifting. At eye level, Muskogee came into focus, his muddy brown eyes reflecting calm, cruel deliberation. Stinking of bundled sweat seeping through the sweet scent of barley whiskey breath, Muskogee, the butcher of children, held Canuck near and close, almost eyeball to eyeball. Canuck lashed out with a foot and gave his heel an ineffective stomping against Muskogee's broad chest. Chuckling, the juggernaut gave Canuck a lesser taste of the shake and rattle he had used on San 2.
I will not kill you, boy. You've got the gift.
The remembrance,
Canuck said.
Even without it, I'll never forget. The evil of this day.
He reached up and dug at Muskogee's fingers, trying to break the crushing grip on his shoulder.
Makes no difference.
An ugly sneer followed the words, but Muskogee did not prevent Canuck's attempt at freedom.
You got family, a mother and father, a baby sister, even a hybrid wolfhound. Don't be responsible for their deaths.
As his breath seized, Canuck went pale, eyes wide, muscles knotted. His hand felt puny against the juggernaut's massive grasp. Fighting was futile, at least in the here and now. His grip loosened, and his breathing calmed. Muskogee arched his brows and raised his upper lip into a twisted, tooth-shinning snigger.
Clever lad. It takes a man to know when, where, and how to fight. For now, concerning these events, you tell any story you want. But avoid the truth. Your family will stay alive, and when the time arrives, I'll collect your gift. Let's call it an unreasonable but necessary bargain.
He tossed Canuck across the chamber toward Gedan.
Strip him and burn his clothes, the overcoats too, both of them.
Then he squatted, took hold of Canuck's ancestral star knife, and studied the blade's glint against the firelight's flicker.
Nice artifact. I wouldn't mind taking this for myself.
Still holding Canuck's winter fur, Gedan snapped a glare toward his older brother.
That blade is not the only thing of value in here. If we keep one thing, why not all of it?
No, no.
Muskogee stood, wagging his finger even as his gaze narrowed in on Gedan and the other two men. A hint of warning seized command of his humor.
I don't want this one dead. His knowledge is worth far too much. We trash his clothes to keep him out of our hair for a spell. The coats aren't worth keeping, but casting away that jumpsuit may have been thoughtless. Lots of uses for that.
He grimaced and shook his head.
These ever-sharp star daggers are rare, easily noticed. I can't have this in my possession with the kid still missing. Pacifists or not, Kalal Hammer Forge and his wife would declare war.
As his gaze landed on Canuck, he flashed a toothy smile.
Don't get the idea that I can't deal with both of your parents, boy, but they can cause unnecessary delays, so let's avoid that.
I'll take care of his mother,
Gedan said.
That's a mite old for your tastes, brother.
I'd bet this kid's mama bucks like a cornered fawn.
Gedan refused to back down.
Quiet,
Muskogee said. Darkness returned to his gaze.
Daughter of Candela Sureflight would lock you in only long enough to let pleasure draw your throat into biting distance. That brazen firebrand is nothing like Kalal. I don't know how he keeps her in check. But I tell you this, brother, mess around with this boy's mother, and you will die in headless ecstasy.